Luke chapter 19. You know about a guy named Zach in the Bible? A guy named Zach. The name's Zacchaeus, but he's a short fellow. I figure we give him a short name, right? I want you to go back a page to chapter 18. And I referenced this the other Sunday morning, I believe. But Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he spake this parable. This is Jesus. He spake this parable, a story, a heavenly story with an earthly meaning, or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They had self-righteousness, that they were righteous and they despised others. They looked down on other people. Two men went up into the temple to pray. They both went for the same reason, went to the same place, like us. One, a Pharisee, the other, a publican. Different backgrounds, different careers, different philosophies of life. But isn't it great that we can come into church with all of our differences and seek the same God and seek harmony and unity and find peace in Christ? Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Just adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, I have an idea. Past tax day, we got to talk about tax collectors. Unjust, maybe he knew something. Adulterer, maybe he knew something. But then he narrows it down and whittles it right to the point. He says, I'm not like that guy. Jesus said he trusted in himself. And he went on and he's talking to God out loud. But is he really telling God all this, or is he wanting the publican to hear it? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Isn't that great? Now turn the page. Because in chapter 19, soon after Jesus told that story of a tax collector, if Jesus didn't already have his mind on Zacchaeus, and if he didn't already know about an event that Zacchaeus had experienced, understanding we have, the philosophies we have, when we say that we are going to seek God and what it means to you versus what it means to others. What do they mean when they say they're going to church? Why are they going? Is it to show off a new hat or a new dress or some new shoes or a new car or a new suit or a new tie? What are they doing? Are they going to impress? Do they go to church because there's somebody at that church, and if I go to that church, maybe I can get a job with that guy? Or maybe, and this really happens a lot, maybe if I go to that church, I'll be able to get close to that young lady I want to sit with. Right? By the way, best place to find somebody is in church, right? And so when they went to the temple to pray, they went, the Bible says, to pray. And now he comes and he talks about what the Bible tells us to read it. Chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And I say to you, that was no accident. Somebody says, hey, if you ever in town, if you ever come by And you know they live 40 miles out of the way. They're never going to just pop in, right? They got to, if they're going to be there, they're going to come on purpose. Jesus passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. And it finishes off that verse by saying he was what? He was rich. Somebody give me a good definition of rich. Not a person, a definition. Wealthy, so. Okay, so it's, they have no external needs. They're comfortable. Right? They think about something, they just get it. They don't have to worry about it. They, you know, probably have somebody do the laundry, which would be great. If there's anything I need, it's somebody do the laundry. It's not easy with all those kids, is it? He was the chief of publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus. Isn't that interesting? He had no, remember my definition, he has no external needs. There are people who get into a bind and they find Jesus. Right? Some of them get arrested. Some of them get divorced. Some of them, you know, things, you know, like the crisis comes. Then they look for Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't have any of that going on. He had no external needs. But he still wasn't satisfied. Think about Solomon. All right, Jesus talked about Solomon in all of his glory. Solomon said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He had everything. Man, he had to think of stuff to get. He had so much available that he had to think of. He had ostriches and gorillas and giraffes and horses and a summer house and a winter house and a spring house. It had everything. And wives. And you know what comes with wives? Shoes. Lots of shoes, right? Had lots of stuff. But he had lots of, he just had everything. And Zacchaeus had everything on the outside, but something was missing. Something was missing. Boy, there's people out there, and they go to ball games, and they buy toys, and they buy tools, and they buy stuff, and their garage is full, and their shop is full. They build another shop just to keep all their stuff in it. And they, you know, have different cars for different days of the week. And they have everything they need. And they're still trying to fill it with something. They finish a bottle. The bottle's empty. And so is their heart. They take drugs. They go around and have many relationships. And they chuck it up and they have humor and all these things, trying to fill their life with happiness. We see so many, especially in, you know, TV and movies, and we see them on the screen and they're laughing and they're joking and everybody thinks they're funny. They're trying to fill a void with friends and appreciation and applause, and the problem's not out there. What's missing is in here. You see, there's a piece of us that only God can fill. And you can eat all the blueberry cheesecake you want, and it's not going to fill that gap. It's good. I agree, it's good. And so Zacchaeus finds himself in that situation. And it says he sought to see Jesus, verse 3, who he was. He had heard about Jesus. That's good. People around us ought to hear about Jesus. But now he says, I want to see who he is. I want to experience him. I hear these great things, right? I mean, he walks on water, he turns water to wine, he raises the dead and heals the blind and the sick, and I want to meet this guy. He feeds thousands of people with a bag lunch from a little kid. I got to meet this guy. But he's got a problem. Because all the people in Jericho want to meet this guy. And so there's a crowd of people around Jesus. I can see him walking through the street of Jericho and a crowd of people all around him, maybe even one or two walking backward in front of him. And that's how they wanted to see him. They wanted to be around him. They wanted to hear him talk, and they wanted to see what he was going to do. Zacchaeus said, I want to know who he is. I want to see who he is. And he couldn't because of the press, the people around him. And he had one other problem, right? He was a little fellow. And if he pressed up too close in the crowd, they'd step on him. Right? So he just couldn't get in there. He tried everything. He couldn't muscle his way through. He was a little guy. But he came up with a plan. And the Bible says he ran ahead of the crowd. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was to pass by that way. Let me remind you of something, okay? This man's got posture. This man's got credibility. This man is somebody in Jericho. You remember Naaman, the Old Testament? He had leprosy. He went to the prophet, and the prophet wouldn't even come down. He tells the servant, meet him at the gate, tell him to dip himself in Jordan 7 times. And Naaman says, you know who I am. I'm not dipping in Jordan. We got better water than that back home. I'm not dipping in that muddy, nasty river. And one of his servants said, hey, boss, let me just suggest something. We came all this way. That's the guy. The guy said dip in Jordan 7 times. Took the opportunity. Like, why don't you just try it? What's it going to hurt? But it was pride. I'm somebody. I can't walk the aisle in church. People will wonder what I did. No, we know you're a sinner. We're not wondering. Well, if I go up there and kneel down at the altar, people will think something's going on with my family. There's something we need. The devil gives us to keep us from doing what we story, and guess what? He came up clean. No leprosy. He ran back to that prophet who he had kind of dismissed and said, I want to give you all this stuff. And Elisha said, I don't need your stuff. I didn't minister to you for your stuff. I don't need any of it. Zacchaeus, an important man, he does not find himself to be too important, too well known to run and climb a tree. Why? Because he got something missing in here. And he's not going to let anybody keep him from it. There's something that he's got to know. There's something that he's got to feel, and he's not going to let anybody keep him from it. People say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I got saved. I put my faith in Christ, but I just don't know about that baptism thing. And you surrender yourself, and people dip you in. I don't know if I want to do that. It's just a pride thing. There was a fella named Richard. Loved the guy. Got saved. And he said, actually, I take that back. It wasn't Richard. It was his wife. And Martha says, I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of water. I've been afraid of water. Won't even take a long shower. I mean, I'm that afraid of water. And so she would not get baptized. But it finally got to her that there was something missing. She was saved, but there was another step that she needed to take and surrender herself in the waters of baptism. And she finally did. And I didn't drown her either. Hadn't drowned one yet. Zacchaeus put his ego away, his pride away, didn't think about what anybody else would say. All he knew is all those people were in the way, keeping him from what he needed. And he was going to find a way around the obstacle. And he did. Climbed up in the tree. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Now, do you think Jesus walked through Jericho looking up? No, he didn't. But he came to that place and he looked up. I'll go further than that. I believe God planted the tree there. I don't believe that was an accident. There was a sycamore tree in that way. He looked up and he saw him and he said to him, Zacchaeus, called him by name. Look, Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus, but I guarantee you Jesus hadn't heard anything about Zacchaeus. Except what he knew by the Holy Ghost. And he looked up, being the Son of God, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. Make haste. Hurry up. For today I must abide at thy house. I've got an appointment with you and you didn't even know it. How many of you would love for Jesus to say that to you today? Okay, Lord, but give me 15 minutes to clean before you get in. Verse 6, he made haste, he came down, he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They should have been in that temple praying with that Pharisee, huh? I got an idea that story was about Zacchaeus. Guys, here's the thing. Those are the same people that were trying to get around Jesus. And now, because somebody that's not like them, somebody they have a bad opinion about, by the way, somebody who they don't like his reputation, maybe Zacchaeus is all those things that the Pharisee listed about the public. Away our sins and make us new. The Bible says all things are passed away. All things become new. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't that what the Bible says? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By a new attitude. By a new understanding. By a new perception. Zacchaeus said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Was he already saved? Oh, yeah. Did he need to do that? Oh, no. Did the Lord tell him to do that? Doesn't tell us that he did. You know what? He didn't need all that stuff that he'd been accumulating to make himself feel important. And he says, you know, I don't need all that stuff. I'm going to give half of it away. I'm going to give it to the poor. And he had some guilt. You see, a tax collector in those days, he worked for the Roman government. And they had different districts, and as the chief tax collector, he had people working under him. And so everybody, they knew what they had to give to Rome, to the government. And so if they could get more than that, they could put that in their pockets. And of course, you know, it's just like the mob, the mafia, like everybody gets a cut. And guess who's at the top of the heap? Zacchaeus gets a cut of everybody's cut. And then he turns it all into Rome. And so he's he's taking all that money. Well, citizen, how would you feel knowing that the tax collector was taking advantage of you? Right? You show up to pay your taxes and they go, we'll need an extra $5. Need an extra $10. And depending on, you know, who you are, they might want a lot more or a little bit less. But they're taking advantage, enriching themselves. So no wonder people had a poor opinion of Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, because he had done that, he had some guilt, he had some remorse, and now he had Jesus, and he says, you know what? If anybody accuses me of taking anything, I will restore them fourfold. If I have by false accusation, in other words, I took it as extortion, right? Extra money that I wasn't due, I'll pay it back. Not just pay it back, I'll pay them four times what I took. That's real repentance, isn't it? You see, when we get right with God and we receive Jesus as our Savior and our sins are washed away, we begin to look at our lives and we start looking at sins, and we may go all the way back to childhood. I know I sat down when I was a teenager and I wrote letters to people. And I'm sorry that I did this. And I'm sorry that I did. And I mailed it to them. I've been carrying this guilt, and I just want you to know I've changed, and I'm sorry. That's what Zacchaeus did. Except Zacchaeus included a check. Jesus said, this day of salvation come to this house. You see, when we get right, we do right. When we get right, we make things right. There's no reason for us to carry this guilt. Let me say this. If you have hurt somebody or stolen from somebody in your past, when you go to God and say, God, I confess my sin, I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. Excuse me. Thank you. You know God will forgive you of all those sins, and your record in heaven is clean. As far as God's concerned, you never offended those people, hurt those people, stole from those people, whatever. Done. It's forgiven. But I know how I am, and probably how you are. I still carry some guilt. And I can pray and say, God, forgive me. And he says, I already forgave it. I need to make amends. I need to make things right. I need to express. You say, well, what if they don't forgive you? That's not on me. That's on them. When I say I'm sorry, it's done. Well, you didn't really mean it. You don't know if I really meant it or not. If you don't want to forgive me, that's up to you. But I'm asking forgiveness, and that's up to me. And Jesus says in verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for us. He came for me. He came for you. Not because you're good, not because of who you are and your family or what you've accomplished. When he looked up in that sycamore tree and said, Zacchaeus, don't you know that thrilled Zacchaeus' heart? He said, I want to see him. I want to know who he is. But see, Jesus was already thinking about Zacchaeus. Jesus was already working toward Zacchaeus' salvation. And he was ready for Zacchaeus to come to him. And maybe tonight's your night to come to Jesus. From your heart to God's heart. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. I surrender my life to you. And when you pray that prayer, God will hear it. And he'll write your name in the book of life, which is sure. Everything on the outside, but something was missing on the inside. And we find ourselves there sometimes, even as believers, because tonight I pray you'll draw us to you as we surrender our lives and ask you to use us this week to make a difference, to do your work. Dismiss us now with your grace. Bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.